Owen Poindexter joins us from The Athletic, and Owen does a great job, and I appreciate it. Owen, how are you today?
Doing great, Marty. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Now, I want you to stand by for just a second, because we're going to tell you a great place to go before or after a game for a nice cold beer and a burger. And, Carmen, where should Owen go?
There is a great place, and it's called Pine Tar Grill. It's at 917 Folsom, right at 5th Street. And it just opened up. It's open for lunch and dinner. And it's a great place to catch a game. The TV's on. They got great sound. They've got food, cold beer on tap. You guys got to check it out. It's open 7 days a week, and you can also do, like, parties and events there. So it's multi-purpose, and we checked it out, and it's got great baseball memorabilia everywhere. It's got jerseys, bats, candlestick foul poles, candlestick seats. It's got everything.
It's got the total analytics, Owen, of baseball.
that's what I like to hear. Though honestly, all I need is a beer, a veggie burger, and a baseball game.
All right,
memorabilia is nice too, but
it's fun to go.
My eyes will be focused on the plate and the TV.
Well, if you and I watch a game in there, we'll have a good time. It'll be fun. That's the Pine Tar Grill, 917 Folsom Street in San Francisco. All right, Owen, thanks for bearing with us on that and participating. But you wrote a great column a day or so ago about the A's and the Giants picking the all-time A's Giants team of this series of the rosters. And tell us how you went about it and who you picked, because I think it's going to be interesting.
Sure, yeah. So I made basically an all-star team out of the A's and the Giants, the Bay Area all-star team. It was mostly a backward-looking thing, though I was using kind of who I think is going to be better going forward as a tiebreaker. Position players were pretty easy. Outfield was a little tough to pick, but first you have to have Brandon Belt. I love Matt Olson, but Belt has had a phenomenal year. Same but reverse for second base. Jed Lowry's been out of nowhere phenomenal for the A's, and it's been a lot of moving parts for the Giants. Shortstop and third, again, kind of the same situation where you've got a top defender who hits pretty well on each team. So short, obviously, that's Brandon Crawford. Third base is Matt Chapman, who, if Giants fans don't know about Matt Chapman yet, I think he's going to be one of the best players in baseball for the next few years. He's a master at third base, but he hits for a lot of power, and he's starting to learn to hit for contact, so he's dangerous. Your catcher is Buster Posey, but because Posey is bowed out of the actual All-Star game, I thought I should pick a replacement, and that would be Nick Hundley over Jonathan Lucroy, because Lucroy has, sadly been a disappointment for Oakland, and Hundley has been a mini Jed Lowry. He's a 34-year-old who all of a sudden is hitting the ball a lot harder, and I love watching him this year. The outfield was, that was where it got a little bit tough, because there are about four players who have been roughly about as valuable, and I can only pick three. So I went with McCutchen, Gorkys Hernandez, and Mark Canha, who I was surprised to learn has been the best hitter of Bay Area outfielders this year. The one who I was trying to get in but couldn't quite squeeze him in was Stephen Piscotty, who almost destroyed my column by hitting four home runs in the week that I was writing it. So I almost had to put him in there. But his numbers, even with those four home runs in 4 days, was roughly that of Gorkys and McCutchen. So I went with Gorkys and McCutchen. I can get to pitching, too. I was going to give you a chance to jump in there. I've been rambling.
No, I love it, because Adam is ready to take you on a few of them. I
no,
feel it.
Okay, good. No, I was going to say, I don't have really a spat with any of the position players at all. I think you hit it on the head. Joe Panik playing way below his career average. Jed Lowry playing above his career average. I guess my question was specifically about Jed Lowry, who was actually named to his first All-Star team this year. He's tied his career in home runs. His career number in home runs to this point. He's hitting like 25 points above his career average. Is this a guy who's taking advantage of this launch angle stuff or the analytics, or do we think he's just trending high and we'll come back to earth in the second half?
I would say both, but I'm hesitant at this point to just call this like a random fluke, because he was actually doing something like this last year. He led, I think, the AL in doubles last year.
Yeah, nearly 50 doubles.
Really nice little kind of under the radar season. And this year he's hitting almost as many doubles and twice as many home runs.
Yeah.
So do I think that's going to continue, exactly as it is? Probably not. because he has been running hot. But I think, yeah, he is hitting the ball higher. He's hitting it a little bit harder. And I think he's taken a step forward. As long as he can stay healthy, that's always been an issue for him. So hopefully he doesn't, you know, pull a hamstring as soon as this interview's over. But but yeah, no, I think he's good. And he's always been a talented hitter. But yeah, the launch angle thing has really worked out for him.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because the A's have, I think, 83 home runs on the road. The Giants have 90 home runs overall. Where does this come from when you look at the analytics of the A's? Where does all this home run power come from?
Well, I think partly it's something that Billy Bean and the whole A's front office, they really prioritize. And they love guys like Chris Davis. Of course, they have a DH spot to put Chris Davis in. And, you know, by himself, he accounts for a big chunk of that gap. But they're willing to play guys who don't hit for a high average. But when they do hit it tends to go pretty far. Actually, one guy I'd point to is not someone you think of when you think of A's home run hitters, but Marcus Semien, who's actually having a down year this year. But he's kind of your typical A's player in that his defense is acceptable but not great. His average is not so great, but he hits the ball hard. And so when he does hit, he's been able to be a pretty valuable player. Not so much this year, but they have a bunch of guys like that where Matt Olson is, you know, crushes the ball, but also strikes out a lot. Same with Chapman. And the reason Chapman's getting so dangerous is because he is learning to make a bit more contact. But so partly it's a philosophy. But yeah, I would, and I don't know, you know, what the hitting coaches are telling these players, but I would expect the A's guys to be, you know, out in front of the new experiments. They're one of those teams like the Rays, the Astros, who are always trying different things, seeing if they can get a little bit of an advantage before the rest of the league catches up.
Boy, great. Owen Poindexter with us. He writes for The Athletic. Always a pleasure having you on. Owen, Bumgarner last night took it into the seventh inning, gave up a hit and a couple of walks. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at his line or his graph from last night, but if you have, I'd be interested in your take on last night's Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, so I did take a quick look at what he came up with last night. You know, it was a good overall performance. You know, he got the win. You know, he got through a bunch of innings, only gave up a run. What's interesting to me about Bumgarner right now is he doesn't seem to have the same fastball that he had when I'd go back to 2015 and 2016 when that was a real centerpiece pitch for him and everything kind of went off of that. I feel like now it's a bit more of a mix. So the fastball's lost a mile and maybe mile and a half in velocity, but it's also lost some spin rate. And when he first came back from injury this year, he wasn't really throwing that high fastball. That's kind of the quintessential Bumgarner pitch in my mind, is that high fastball. And he didn't really have that. Then he brought it back. He had those two really dominant starts when he was starting to throw it more. And I was like, okay, he's back to normal. And last night, I don't think he threw it very often. And, you know, it's just one start. It could have just been how he was reading the hitters. You don't want to read too much into these things. But I feel like that pitch is not kind of the one that everything's based off of right now. It's more of a mix with his curve. His curve is still really good, and his cutter is still pretty strong. But yeah, no, he's making it work, but it's a little bit of a different formula.
How about Steven Duggar? The Giants brought up Duggar this week, and he's now hitting at the top of the lineup. He's providing a bunch of speed for them. It seems like the Giants, a team that just keeps getting faster and faster, the addition of Slater and Alan Hansen. Has the speed been helping the Giants, or do you measure those analytics as far as, I know, defensive runs saved? Or what's the impact that Steven Duggar should have in this lineup?
Yeah, I mean, he's an exciting player. And it's funny, I feel like I kept hearing about how the Giants don't have a farm system. It's totally decimated.
Right, no, that's all we talk about.
So many contributions from young players.
Yeah.
And their whole season is kind of, you think of like, you know, Derek Rodriguez and, Suarez. Their season's been saved by these guys. So I feel like we haven't really gotten much of a look at Duggar, of course, in the major leagues. But yeah, having that speed and that big outfield. And yeah, you know, I couldn't tell you too much about what it means in terms of, you know, will Posey hit for a higher average when there's a stolen base threat on first? That part I'm not sure, but obviously it's a nice thing to have. And Duggar was hitting in the minors, and he could just be an asset all around to this team. He might be their best left fielder right now, so, or, you know, center fielder. He's able to handle that as well. So I'm hoping both he and Slater get a chance to show what they can do. I know there's kind of four guys in that mix right now with the two of them. But yeah, I'm hoping they get enough plate appearances to get their feet wet in the majors because, yeah, both of them have a good track record in the minors of hitting the ball. And, of course, yeah, adding that speed to the lineup is always nice because the Giants are on the slower side with their veteran players. And you have guys like McCutchen who used to steal a lot and don't really do that anymore. Yeah, just, it gives him a new look, and having him come off the bench in games when he's not playing, that's a nice weapon to have. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he does.
One last thought for you. Owen Poindexter joins us from The Athletic. Belt, he's gone about 55, 56 at-bats without a home run. Anything you see about his swing that you could point to about why the lack of taking the ball over the fence?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what exactly the swing looks like compared to pre-injury, but he hasn't been the same guy that he was before the injury. He upped his launch angle. He's always been a high launch angle guy, but it went even higher for the first part of this year. And, of course, he had that phenomenal stretch where he was one of the best players in the National League. And since he's come back, it's still on the high side, but the launch angle's down a little bit. The exit velocity is down a little bit, which makes me think he's not totally healthy. And so he's not quite lining the ball up the way that he was before. I'm hoping it's just a health thing and the belt from the beginning of the season will be back soon enough. Because it would be a shame if that was just kind of a blip where we just have to remember that those 2 months where he was one of the best players in the National League. I think that guy is still in there, but I think he needs to be fully healthy to make that happen. And actually, I take the lower exit velocity as an encouraging sign because that means maybe he's just, you know, not quite all the way back. But it could be that he was just locked in for a couple months and that's going to be hard to find again. But he was always a high launch angle guy, and actually his launch angle since he came back from injury is lower than it was last year, if I'm recalling correctly. So it's not like he can't get back to at least, you know, a little bit toward what he was doing before. But yeah, it is kind of a funny stretch given how he was, you know, just hitting so many homers in those first couple of months. So I think he'll get back to at least something in the middle, and I'm hopeful that he can get all the way back as long as he's not got a lingering injury that just stays with him.
Well, great analysis, Belt. I think that was really helpful, what's going on, Belt. Owen, thanks so much. As always, a pleasure to have you on. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Marty.
Very good. Enjoyed it. All right, that's Owen Poindexter of The Athletic. That was good stuff on Belt.